Design. We're at the opposite of page 92.
Yeah, it's actually working. I didn't put your this.
Okay, where's the mic on it?
Right there.
Is it mentioned?
Page static design. That's in the back there, that you're in the Likutin. Come back a little bit more. Come back. No, the other way, Abba. Yeah. Opposite of page 192. On the left column, in the middle, where it says Sukkah Shehi Remes La'olam Haba. Okay? Sukkah Shehi Remes La'olam Haba. And he also writes here at the top there that there's a couple of ideas mixed in here. Whoever wrote it down, whichever Talmud wrote it down. Sukkah is, or the Sukkah actually, is a remes to Olam Haba. Like we say at the end of Sukkah, when we leave it, we should be zocher to have the Sukkah Shalev Yosan, which refers to Olam Haba. So therefore it's necessary to have Yom Kippur prior to Olam Haba, prior to Sukkah. As it says about Yom Kippur, Ve'inisem es nafsho seichem, you shall make yourself uncomfortable. Inui. The fasting, the not wearing leather shoes. Ki olam haba ve'eretz Yisrael al yidei Yisurim. It says in the Gemara that there are three things that come through Yisurim, and two of them are olam haba, to gain a share in the world to come. There's an amount of adversity and struggle, even affliction, that precedes it. And also Eretz Yisroel is attained through Yisurim as well, like we saw in today's paper. So the entrance into Olam Haba, or here, Sukkot, is through Yom Kippur, which is a time of Inui. So there's some kind of uncomfort, discomfort on Yom Kippur that leads us into Sukkot. Kidaisa b'midrash u'kamashukasu v'yancha v'yari v'echa, as it says in the Midrash, and it also writes that Hashem afflicted you and he made us hungry in the Midbar, in the wilderness. Laman hodiyacha, and there was a goal there. The goal was to eventually come to the recognition of Hashem. V'zehu remes tanis yom ha-kippurim rak b'tfila shehumosa pi Hashem k'moshakasu v'arizal. So this is the remes on Yom Kippur of the fast, in davening, and I don't really get what he means. Maybe somebody has grasped what he's saying, that there is a hint to Tanis, to fasting on Yom Kippur, only in Shemoneh Esrei. And I guess what he means is that we don't really make any other mention of the fast except in the Shemoneh Esrei. That's what I'm supposing. Is that correct?
I would say that's...
Well, people complain a lot about
not
I guess not in the remes. He says that remes ta'anis yom ha-kippurim,
but it's mentioned,
it's only in tefillah.
How does it describe in Kiddush? I mean,
it says
Kiddush,
but it doesn't say
it's right. The mention of Yom Kippur is the time is only found in the Mila.
As a time, I thought that's what he's saying, but I can't pin that down either. Really,
the fasting. It's not a remnant
of the
fast.
Yeah. Of
the
fasting.
Yeah. Of course, the verse.
And I thought tefillah was a was more linked to Rosh Hashanah, and the fast was more linked to Yom Kippur. Are they trying? Maybe is he trying to bring in the whole period, or he's just specifically?
I don't know. I really don't know the meaning of the statement.
And it's me, our results is very hard to figure out.
Right. I don't know.
What does it say
again? Zehu remes ta'anis yom ha-kippurim rak b'tefillah. This is the hint of the fast of Yom Kippur, only in tefillah, mm-hmm. which is Motsa pi Hashem, which is the word of Hashem himself, as it says in the Arizal.
Mm-hmm. The word
it's
of
a cryptic his, statement.
Hashem himself.
Motsa pi Hashem, right.
Is that like the Ratzon Hashem? I mean, or is it he's meaning
more
something?
The expression?
More expression.
Hashem. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
So, Nishlam Mechuvan Hatanis. On Sukkot, then, which follows Yom Kippur, the ultimate intent of the fast is finally achieved. And we're trying to get somewhere with this tinus. We look at Yom Kippur, it's true, as a goal unto itself, that is Kapora for Bnei Yisroel. But in this context, he's looking at Yom Kippur as something leading up to Sukkot. And that Sukkot ultimately achieves the desired goal of Yom, and the fast of Yom Kippur, which is our joy in Hashem.
You think that it's a continuation of an affliction in the sense that we remove ourselves from our homes to dwell?
So there is a discomfort there, that's true, you know, going outside.
Yet it's a simcha.
But he's calling it, right, you know, beyond that already. Because there's no inui, there's no mitzvah of inui on Sukkot. The, you know, when we make ourselves uncomfortable.
Actually, there was a drawing, I think it was something we said years ago, in the past years, was that I don't think it's so much he sees that as a discomfort going into the Sukkot. What he sees, I just remember reading a note from a while back, was he sees that we, through Yom Kippur, we have actually, by humbling ourselves in the process, we've made room for God. And suddenly we have no space for a haughty world anymore. So even our own home, in a way, is uncomfortable to us because it's just not, it's too much. And it actually, that he gave us the sukkah to go out and keep us, like, for seven more days, and set us aside from the world. In a way, it's almost the hobby, like Shiva. He allows us to sit for 7 days, and then on the eighth day, he starts bringing us back out into the world. And you mentioned
the other way around.
That we're coming back into it. We're taken away.
Also on Sukkah, if you are uncomfortable in the Sukkah, a person really is exempt from the Sukkah.
That's interesting.
So we have to achieve comfort out there in the Sukkah. L'kol ha-gimel kalulin b'chag ha-sukkos. He says all three things are included in the holiday of Sukkot. Now which three does he mean? He's going to say now. Be'er, in the wilderness the Jewish people had Be'er, Anani ha-kavod, and Mun. Right, the water, the clouds, and Mun. Each were in the zechus of Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe Rabbeinu. And when Aaron died and Miriam died, then all three were in the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Be'er, water, shehu nisu hamayim, that refers to nisu hamayim on Sukkot, when we pour some water on the Mizbeah. The Sukkot itself is anonei kavod, because we know that from the Gemara, that the Sukkot is like anonei kavod, the clouds of honor. Uman, and what is the man? Shehubi zechus Moshe lechemin hashemayim hu bechina salula v'mina. That's an interesting thought. It says the man, which came through the zechus of Moshe, bread from heaven, that is the lulav and the esrog in the four meaning. Now how is that? V'remez, the hint of that, dichsiv, mam tir lachem hu lekachtem lachem. Does the word lachem is used by man? Hashem says, I will bring down rain, like rain almost, lechem min hashemayim, lechem for you. And lulav and esrog, it says, lekachtem lechem. He says, from this similarity of the words lechem, there is a connection between man and lulav. And what is the connection? Vehu hadas, that both of them bring about a type of closeness of knowledge to God. Shemasigin bezeh hachag kol nefashos b'nei Yisrael, that all the souls of the Jewish people are able to accomplish on this Yom Tov a new knowledge, an intimate knowledge of Hashem. Kamo shekasuv l'man yedu doroseichem, as it says about Sukkot, that your generations shall know. U'kasiv doroseichem chaser. It says parenthetically, in the Torah, doroseichem is written without a vav. L'rabos gam doros hashfeilin, which includes even the lower generations who don't have the same abilities, even these generations will have an intimate, close knowledge of Hashem. Now, it says about Mun that the Torah was only given to the generation who ate Mun. Lo nitna Torah ella ochlei haMun. So it was more than food, it was a kind of food that gave us a special understanding of Hashem through Torah. It was a spiritual type of food. And the lulav and esrog, there's a tefillah before the Hiratzon, before you pick them up, which talks about Das, bringing Das to a place called Neveya Pirion, some spiritual place. So here's the connection that he makes, that Lulav and Esrog bring Das, a close knowledge of Hashem, to the human being. And Mun also did the same thing, somehow through its consumption gave us a special knowledge to Hashem. So their sukkah contains Be'er, Anane Kavod, and Mun. V'zehu l'man hodiyacha, and again the same word, hodiyacha, to give you da'as, which is reiterated again on sukkahs. L'chein marbin b'tfilos v'hoshanus b'sukkos sh'niftach b'chinus motzei pi Hashem. And so he's saying that we therefore have many tefillos, such as Hoshanas, on Sukkot, because on this time the Pi Hashem, literally the mouth of Hashem, some kind of expression from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is open and accessible on Sukkot, and we say Hoshanas to try and latch into that Pi Hashem, which is revealed now. Befrat v'yom ha'arava shehu Hoshana Rava, specifically on the day of Hoshana Rabbah. V'hu gemar hatanis ki yodua sho Hoshana Rabbah hu chisum gemar din shema kippurim. Right, this is said even in the halacha. Specifically, Hoshana Rabbah really is the conclusion of the fast of Yom Kippur, because we know that the final closing of the din occurs on Hoshana Rabbah. That's how we have special tefillos. We march around seven times. We beat the Aravis.
Piskatava
during this time. Till Hoshana Rabbah. So that shows that there's still a connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and Hoshana Rabbah is the closing of the din.
Extra time.
Yeah. Where are you, Josh? That we have special tefillos on Yom Kippur because the Pi Hashem is revealed at this time, and specifically Hoshana Rabbah.
We have longer.
Yes, with the Gemar Din of the Chisum Hadin. Shimon, you have a question?
Motzei Pi Hashem, is that the pasuk of Lo'al?
Yeah, right. Which is you know, in relationship to also to Mun.
I'm just wondering if that was tied into the thing of the time. It is. Because you don't have the lechem, you have
Pi Hashem only. Right. And I agree with you. I think that that's connected to that back there. I'll call Motzei Pi Hashem. I still don't grasp the remez about the tainus and tefillah, right? Okay. But I think that's the connection you made is correct. Ukasiv zachartu lachesed nuraich. It says that Hashem relates to us that he remembers for us the chesed, the love of our youth. When we were following him in the midbar. Which we say, of course, during slichas and davening. Ki bevadai achar hagolus hayutzrichin b'nei Yisrael lavo lahasagos gedolos. There's no question that after our exile, the Jewish people must come to great levels of comprehension. That follows our exile. V'gam hema bevada hevinu zos u'kamosha kosu v'acharechen yetzu b'ruchush gadol. And the Jewish people themselves understood this when they left Mitzrayim with great wealth, not only physically, but our whole personality was changed and our consciousness was expanded. Afal pi kein holchu achar habora yisporach, v'gam tzeda lo asu lohem. Even so, they went into the desert. And so you're saying, even though that they left Mitzrayim in a great way, they were still ready to walk into the wilderness. And that was considered to be a great mila for the Jewish people, that we had a lot of wealth walking out of Mitzrayim. We were saying, okay, we're going to follow you around in the wilderness. We could settle down now, we have a lot of money, we have a lot of things, but we're going to go into the midbar with Hashem. You're going to say something else? V'gam tzeda lo asu lahem, and they didn't prepare provisions for themselves. Actually, food, we know they had matzah, and they had these rolls called charayas. V'nisnasu b'ra'avon v'tzamon, and they actually went into a situation, because God led them there and they willingly followed, of hunger and thirst.
With wealth.
With money. It's an interesting thing. They had all that wealth and no food and no water. That was strictly based on Hashem and we always associate that if you have the money, then certainly you have the food and the water.
We've never been to standing by one.
But that theme played itself out also in Tish B'Av.
Right.
She threw her money out the window.
Right.
She didn't
know
what good did the buyer. She couldn't buy anything.
Right.
So he plays that theme out.
Mm-hmm.
But what's
sure.
interesting then is I'm not understanding, going back to the original story
okay.
of this, of why the why he's looking at we have to have Hashem wanted to afflict us before we could go into Olam Haba.
Right.
Because it would seem like this step alone was somewhat of an affliction or a willingness.
This was it. This was, we understood that, he's saying, when we left the Mitzrayim, that in order to get to Eretz Yisrael, which parallels in order to get to Olam Haba, there is going to be a period of adversity and even suffering. And we knew that walking into the desert, he says, that there were going to be problems. But there was a grasping of the process that this would somehow purge us, you know, and form us into a nation.
But they say with birth pangs, February later, if you birth.
You know it's going to happen.
Heart attack,
yeah.
you know,
so that's a nice special, right? V'achar kach hisigu hakol ad shekiblu ha-Torah. Then they comprehended, meaning to say they got their first measure of reward in a certain sense by receiving the Torah. They walked out of Mitzrayim and they received the Torah at Har Sinai. K'mochein achar Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-Kippurim shehu dimyon li'etzias Mitzrayim b'hasagas ha-nefesh l'habor yisparach al-yidei ho-inui. He says, this is really an incredible statement. It says, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is similar to leaving Mitzrayim. We usually don't think about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur in that way. Sukkot, Pesach, it's a new idea. It's a Chiddush, right? It's Lech Letzias Mitzrayim, is the Ad Shalosh Regalim. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you don't usually hear that. And he says there's this parallel here of leaving Mitzrayim through the experience of Inui, of discomfort, which is Yom Kippur. Zochen achar kach l'chol eila hamatanos bishmini atzeres. We then achieve all of the great gifts which follow this on shmini atzeres. V'gam b'sukkos atzma b'simchas beis hashuveva shem yishon ha'shav in ruach hakodesh. And sukkos itself, he says, even before shmini atzeres, is the beginning of the taking of the reward, you know, the Hasaga, because we are grasping Ruach HaKodesh when we went to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaShoeva, the pshat is that they would draw the water. That's Beis HaShoeva, drawing of the water. But the Ramban and others say that it means that they would draw Ruach HaKodesh from the Beis HaMikdash. That was the Beis HaShoeva. They would come there and people would be inspired with Ruach HaKodesh. Dichasiv Leif Tavar Barali Elokim Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi. As it says, create for me a pure heart and renew within me a new spirit, a proper spirit. U'kishen nitaru libos b'nei Yisrael b'yom ha-Kippurim. So after our hearts became purified on Yom Kippur, d'chisiv l'taher eschem, as it says, Yom Kippur performs tahara on ourselves, memela, what follows, Misover Ruach HaKedusha B'libos B'nei Yisrael, the spirit of Kedusha. So he's saying, Leif Tahor B'Rali Elokim, that's the purity of heart formed through Yom Kippur and through Inui. The result of that is Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekirbi. Then a new spirit of Kedusha is within us. Vahu, and then he says once again, Motza Pi Hashem. This new spirit is the spoken word of Hashem. Sheyesh B'chol Ish Yisrael, which every Jew has within him, dechasiva yipach ba'apav, Hashem blew the neshama into us. That's what's coming from Hashem's mouth. The k'moshe kasuv chazal, as it says, yira adam ki lukado shori b'sof meyav, a person should always see himself that there is holiness resting within our innards, within the very inner of our being. It's there.
I could talk a lot about that.
Yes. Kedusha within
the yeah. Torment there, maybe covered over, maybe rusted, maybe not used, but it's there. That's why I'm trying to draw it out.
I did once see, and I don't remember where, the comparison of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to Pesach and Shavuot, and that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were to the Yachid, as Pesach and Shavuot are to the cloth.
To the cloth. So there's a string of some ideas there, you know, that were coming together. They seem to have been coming from perhaps not even necessarily the same discourse. Because the mimer begins, Irbuve Devorim Shaloka Seder, not necessarily in order. You notice that there was some themes there, but it was not one string of thought. But we have that a lot in this Vasemis, but sometimes it's one thought after another. Let's take a look at that. That's very nice. Very.
Well, the common thread seemed to be the Motzei Hashem.
Yeah, Motzei Pi Hashem, and Inui, and Yom Kippur, Olam Haba, and Sukkot. And understanding that process of Inui is going to bring us to a place of great Hasaga and Simcha.
And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a reminder of the Yitzias
Mitzrayim. We were released through that. That part I can relate to, because I always feel a release after Yom Kippur. A certain kind of, you know, of objectivity with the world. Like I've been lifted out of the world a little bit.
Well, I think he plays, and we've done this once before, he's played with that thing. That's why we go into the sukkah.
Mm-hmm.
The world's too strange for us, and we need to withdraw for a little bit.
Get into the sukkah.
And then eventually he says,
then we bring it back.
It's almost like a reminder then of just that, of the day of Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
I mean, because here it is, we end Yom Kippur, we go back into this world to eat, and then everybody's rushing that night to build a sukkah and get back to work, or at least get back to work and build the sukkah the next day. And it's like it's a continuation of like a removal.
Yeah. No, that's the Abba. We were discussing in the car the other day the inyan to start on your sukkah as soon as Yom Kippur is finished. So it fits in nicely with this, that sukkah is really the ultimate achievement of the intent of Yom Kippur. So you're binding it.
It's almost like one long.
And I think it was from one of the, I think it might have been the Kiddush Rebbe, but I don't remember, but he said the way you drive that first nail after Yom Kippur is to study the Mishnah, supposedly. That's how he said
Very nice.
You don't have to go outside.
That was from the Rebbe?
That was from the Rebbe. I think he said you sit down.
Very nice.
But
some of it, that's a beautiful
name. Maybe they both said it.
How do you explain in English the word sagas?
Comprehensions. Yeah. Usually implying deep comprehensions.
I think Arya Kaplan uses it more into like a meditative. He throws it in with his books on meditation.
The word Hasaga?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Into like meditative thoughts of Hashem and stuff. Mm-hmm. Whatever he means by that.
Let's take the look on the bottom of 194. We'll take one more mimer. The right column on the bottom. The Pasuk Lech Echol B'Simcha. Lachmecha, go and eat with joy your bread. Now there is a Hamavdil, which is after Yom Kippur, which is a little different than the Hamavdil after Shabbos. And one of the psukim incorporated in that is this one, Lech Echol B'Simcha Sachmecha, go eat your bread in joy and return to your tents in peace.
Is that for Hellas?
I don't know where the pasuk is.
Sounds like
Hellas. Does it call us?
It might have been Hellas.
No, I know where it's brought down in the
chair. I
can
take it, but
what's the found in this Hamavdil?
Yeah, there's.
It's a different Hamavdil.
Hamavdil, which is after Shabbos. There's a special Hamavdil after Yom Kippur.
It has four verses, and one of them is Lech Echol B'Simcha. In Hatavas Chalom, they have this pasuk.
We're not 100% sure. Although, from what I've been able to get, it means town of the bees.
Town of the
bees.
Bees.
It's not the where Fulton Dorf is called.
Yes.
Town. Town. Dorf is called.
Town.
You say Koheles, Abba? That's where it's from, Koheles. Koheles Perek Tes. The pasuk is, Leif b'simcha, go enjoy, echol lachmecha, eat your bread. We should say, b'lev tov yenecha, drink with a good heart your wine. Ki kavar ratzahu elokim es ma'asecha, because Hashem has showed goodwill toward your deeds.
That's after all the cynical, skeptical statements.
He says that, yeah.
Enjoy.
Okay. So that's that pasuk, and again, it is incorporated into that special hamavdo after Yom Kippur. So usually you think that means breaking your fast. Go ahead and eat now. Enjoy. He says it a little differently. Hu al chag hasukkos. He says it's a connection again from Yom Kippur to Sukkos. Go eat your food. Enjoy. Zaman Simchasenu. It has to be Sukkos because Sukkos is Zaman Simchasenu. So Leich Echol B'Simcha, go eat on the time of Simcha, on Sukkos, Lachmecha, your bread. That's Sukkos. Ki Kavar Ratza, because Hashem has already desired that which you have done. Mazah HaLoshon Kavar, what does this Loshon of Kavar mean already? Ha'inihu K'moshu Kasuv, it says, Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'Nashu, go return us to you, we shall return. Chadesh Yomenu Kikerem, renew our days as of old. Kishoresh b'nei Yisrael l'mal l'mehateva. Now the other forms say this, that kikerem means more than just as it was a long time ago. It means as things are above the state of our world. Kikerem means in a higher place, kodem to this natural world. T'moshekosu v'sha'olu b'machshava kodem v'shenivra kol ha'olam. That the neshamos of the Jewish people were on God's mind even before the world was created. The world was created for the purpose of our neshama, so we were in His plan before the physical creation. But through our own transgressions, we make separations and obstacles between ourselves and Hashem, and therefore the plan is sidetracked. Through our teshuva, we then return to our source, which means to the original thought in God's mind of what He wanted for us. V'nimsa memela l'mafreya nitkan hakol. And then, after we go through that process of teshuva, everything has had its appropriate tikkun. It's been restored. Kekedem. So kekedem means as it was in God's mind before creation. That's what he's saying. Renew our days as of old, really old, way up there, back in Hashem's mind. V'zeh kavar ratza. That's what it means that Hashem has already shown goodwill and shown you favor. Shal yidei ha'teshuva nischazru l'mekomam harishon. It means already they have been restored to the place where they already were at one time in God's mind. That's kavar. That's beautiful. Yeah. V'isa gedola teshuva shemagas ad kisei hakava. Makes beautiful sense. He said, Chachamim say, teshuva is great because it reaches all the way up to God's throne. Right, so what does that mean? That's Hashem's thought in the creation of the world, is His throne. And that intent is restored through teshuva. Remez l'mitzvah sukkah, acha yom ha'kippurim, shekol b'nei Yisrael shavim l'fanav yisparach. This hints to the teshuva is great that it goes up to the Kisei HaKavod. This hints to Yom Kippur, where all B'nai Yisrael have done teshuva. So that's the Gedola HaTeshuva. And after that, we are Zoche to the Sukkah, which is considered Shavu Al Shem Anoni HaKavod, which is for the Anoni HaKavod that we were sheltered by. U'B'Sefer Kapos Tamorim Pirish Al Gemorah Hanal Shekol B'nai Yisrael Chakukin B'Kisei. In the Sefer Kapos Tamorim, which is a Lamdisha Sefer on Maseches Sukkah, it says there that all B'nai Yisrael are engraved on Hashem's throne. Kamashukasub Tsurasal Shal Yaakov Chakuka Bekise HaKavod. As it says, the Tsura of Yaakov, the image of Yaakov, is engraved on Hashem's Kisei. Shehu Shoresh Kol Neshamos Yisrael B'nei Yisrael. Yaakov is the Shoresh because he's the father of the 12 Shvatim. He is the Shoresh of all of the Neshamos Yisrael. And in that respect, we are all there engraved on Hashem's Kisei, on his throne. Vayidei HaTeshuva Mistabe Kol Echad B'Shoresho. And through Teshuva, we then cling to this Shoresh of ours, this plan of Hashem, which is engraved on his throne. And that's associated with Sukkos. V'lachein yesh achar kach simcha. Therefore, there is a great joy. Ki ikar ha-simcha b'ha-shoresh. B'sham kol b'nei Yisrael echad. Because the true joy is when we reach this source of our being, what Hashem has in mind for us, and there we are in a state of great unity. It says in the Gemara that it would be fitting that the entire Jewish people would sit in one sukkah. It'd be a pretty big sukkah, right? Kidichsiv kol ha-ezrach, as it says in the Torah, kol ha-ezrach b'Yisrael, every citizen of Israel shall dwell in the sukkah. What is ezrach? He says, v'hu zerichas, he says it's from the Lashon of radiance. Kol ha-ezrach b'Yisrael. Zerichas shoresh kololus b'nei Yisrael. It is the radiance of the source of the entire Jewish people, tsuraso shel Yaakov, this image of Yaakov on the tsura, that brings us all in a state of togetherness in Hashem's machshava that's somehow accomplished on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. That's an awful lot to consider, huh?
I need to go over this 10 times.
Yeah, we have to absorb that. That's like a wave.
Yeah. It's good to have the circuit sometimes.